You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. As promised, we do have
a big announcement.
A special announcement.
Special big announcement.
Special big announcement. Big special announcement. Calvin, hit it.
That's weird. There it is. Wait.
It's coming.
There we go.
After 44 years in radio.
Yeah.
The past three at Civic Media.
Mm-hmm.
Almost 2 years as host of this show, Matinair on Air. I am happy to share with you that I am going to be retiring next month.
Excuse me?
I am going to retire in December.
Sorry, my of
this year.
Brain just went into a dull, faint humming sound. All I'm hearing are lies being spewed by this clear robot that's replaced our beloved Jane, who will never leave radio.
It's time.
It's absolutely time.
And I really just want to take this opportunity to say thank you. Really.
Yeah.
Thank you for four decades of welcoming me into your homes and your cars and your garages and your barns or wherever you listen to the radio. Thank you so very, very much. I have been so fortunate for the last 44 years, whether I shared the loss of a pet or the loss of a boyfriend or the loss of a job, or I celebrated getting a pet or getting married or getting a job
or getting a boyfriend,
that too, you grieved with me, you celebrated with me, you gave me words of comfort and encouragement and congratulations and well wishes. And the stories that people have shared with me over the years. Mm-hmm. Through your phone calls and your emails and your texts and even your voice notes have made my life much richer, much fuller, and most definitely much funnier.
All right.
So thank you to my colleagues, Greg and Calvin, past and present, everyone here at Civic Media. I am so proud. I am so proud to finish up my career on this incredible network. This is just the beginning, everybody. This is just the beginning for new chapters ahead.
New chapters ahead. And this is, I mean, you are retired. You're announcing your retirement. This is by no means the last day we're going to be.
My last show will be December 12th.
There you go.
And we're going to have some special guests and special things.
And special laughs.
And special laughs.
And I guarantee you she's going to cry.
Oh, I will absolutely.
Oh, my goodness.
Be a blubbering mess. But thank you all so very, very, very much from the bottom of my heart. It has been an incredible ride. It's been remarkable. Never in my wildest dreams did I ever think that I would spend 44 years doing this.
Yeah. I mean,
and for the most part, stayed employed. It's shocking.
And you got to, you know, I don't know, like the past 3 years have been wonderful to watch you just take the reins of a show and really molded into something special.
It has been so much fun.
Yeah.
And I firmly believe that this has been the most important work I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I thank Civic Media for giving me this opportunity, which is very rare. And for anyone who knows media and how media works, it's pretty unusual for a 60-something woman to be given her own show.
Yeah.
It really is a rarity. And so thank you to Civic Media for believing in me and trusting in me and giving me this opportunity. It's been incredible. I have learned so much.
Yeah.
I've learned so much. And hopefully we had some laughs along the way.
Well, hope. What are you talking about? We've had lots of laughs.
We had lots of laughs.
We had lots of laughs today.
We did.
Yeah. So
we did. Laughing is good.
I don't think you need to worry about that. And I'm going to let you into a little secret in the world of Jane and our conversations. One of the things that she's always worried about is that this whole thing, whether it's this show or your career, hasn't had an impact on people. And I think you know very well that's not the case.
But you know how difficult it is because we have, this is very much a one-sided communication medium.
Yeah.
And so we say things and they go out into the ether and you don't know how that lands lot of times.
But just from the announcement that's been announced, certainly before we just made this announcement a few minutes ago, people are already sending in their well wishes and telling you that you know, from Sue from Franklin, simply, no! She's like, seriously, congratulations. A well-deserved retirement. Dan from Wausau, congrats. Carmela from Milwaukee, OMG, Jane, thank you. Please pop in once in a while or give us updates. Loves ya, Carmela. And Chris Casper says, I already miss Jane.
Thank you so much.
I think that we will be having wonderful, wonderful questions. Or wonderful, sorry, I read a word question. We'll be having wonderful conversations, talking about the memories, talking to some friends from the past. Who knows who will stop by, but we will have wonderful discussions and just be a part of it. And you're going to find out more by going to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for Matt and Air on Air. If you go to the front page, there's actually, you can go right there. It just says the big announcement and you can click more. We got a press release out because we want to tell the world this is an important thing. You're important.
Well,
deal with it.
I really appreciate
that. You're important.
I also just want to share that, by the way, to the disappointment of some, I'm not getting shoved out and I'm not being forced out and I'm not hanging on by my fingernails going, saying, no. We talked about this for a long time ago.
Even when
I started as host of this program, and I told the managers here at Civic that I wanted to retire by the time I was 66. I'm going to be 66 shortly after the first of the year.
Mm-hmm.
This was always the plan.
Yes.
This was always the plan.
Yeah.
And again, I want to thank Civic again for knowing that and still giving me the gig.
Not saying like, oh, well, goodbye.
Oh, well, okay, never mind. We'll get somebody else. Thanks a lot. That was great.
Yeah. And we're seeing chats through Civic Media coming through. Now everyone's hearing the news right now as the message is being dispersed. Melissa Kay, the very wonderful, wonderful Melissa Kay, award-winning host, Melissa Kay. I will miss you on the airways. Jane, you are fabulous. And Pat Kreitlow just sent a crying emoji, broken heart, and then hearts, because he loves emojis. Don't we love emojis?
Just love emojis.
I will not ask you what the next chapter is right now. We'll talk about all that stuff in the weeks to come. And like I said, we're going to have wonderful discussions and have great laughs and maybe even listen to some things from the past. Who knows?
There's some interesting things from the past.
Folks, she was in radio in the 80s, so you know there's fun things happening there.
Oh, there's a commercial that I was in with one of my first partners.
Yeah.
Just for the perm. We need to share that just so you can see the perm I had in 1987.
It's not so much a perm, but a protective helmet of hair, which kept you from any enemies, foreign and or domestic. It's an arrow. It's like an arrow that points up to the sky to say, God, why? God, why?
You forget that we did those things.
Oh, I don't. I had a mother in the 80s who loved a good permanent set.
Who didn't love a good perm?
Exactly. And look at all of the wonderful things on the Life King Rack. Congratulations, Jane. We'll miss you. Miss RDT, love you, Jane. I miss you. I will miss you so much, but whatever you choose, you will excel. Congratulations. Robin Tigerton says, congratulations, Jane, on a very wonderful career. Very best in the future. You will be missed.
Thank you.
And Jenny says, though we've only begun getting to know one another, Jane deserves some rest and relaxation. It's time for the animals and gardens to have a full attention.
Now I can concrete the whole thing. Finally be happy.
Wow.
Concrete over my garden.
How's your garden? It's gone.
It's concrete.
It's absolutely gone.
If you are just joining us, our big announcement, our special big announcement.
Your special big announcement. I'm not going to. I need a job.
I am retiring next month.
Yep.
I will be retiring in December. My final show will be December 12th. All of that week leading up to my final day, we will have special guests and special things. And special nightmares from my past. You never know.
We're not going to have special nightmares. That's not what's going to happen. Rita in La Crosse listening, WLCX. We're really going to miss you. Good luck on your new adventure. Kimberly in Wauwatosa listening on WAUK. Can we get a Jane Says t-shirt? We will miss you dearly. Merch, Kimberly, is a whole other topic.
We would love to get you a Jane Says t-shirt, Kimberly. That would be fabulous.
And Melissa in Stevens Point on WAUK says, love you, Jane and Greg. We love you right back. But it's going to be a fun next few weeks, and then I'm looking forward to your further adventures. And that whether you just sit in the back garden and read books and sip tea, or you decide to become an MI6 spy, unless you've been one this entire time.
I wasn't going to say that.
Oh my goodness!
Now you busted me.
Sorry about that. I don't know how to keep my secrets.
My opportunity to finally pursue my passion in astrophysics.
No, astrophysics, absolutely. I don't have a passion for astrophysics. Dr. Jane Matinere.
It is interesting though when you tell people that you're retiring, everybody says, "So what are you going to do?" Like, well, I don't really. I'm going to live, I think, and goof around a little.
See, here's the thing is, okay, I'm glad you're saying this now, because you have brought this point up a few times. That's a perfectly legitimate question, and the answer you could always say was, I'm not sure yet. Not be baffled by it.
Well, it's almost like people expect you to have I'm going to write the next great American novel, and then I'm going to change the world.
No, they don't. They're just saying, hey, what's next? And if you say, I don't know, they're going to be like, okay, and then they're going to move on.
Okay, then.
Yeah. Wait, hey, Jane, let's try it.
Okay.
You're retiring?
I am retiring.
I just heard it listening to Civic Media.
You did.
This great show, Matt and Aaron Air, 9 to 11, Monday through Fridays. Catch it. What are you doing next?
I don't know.
Great. I got to go to the grocery store now. Cool. Thanks, man. Talk to you later. See, it's that simple.
If you have retired, I would love to know what you did.
Yes.
And what things you started to do after you said goodbye to work.
Were you able to just stop? Because I don't know anyone who's retired who is just like,
I'm done.
Today, I'm just going to sit on the couch and watch some TV. And tomorrow, same thing. It's always, I got to do something.
Well, yeah. And I would love to hear from you if you have suggestions what to do in retirement at 855-752-4842. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Big announcements.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Jane says.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, K Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter's. We call her Civic Media's genie of just about everything, because she is everywhere at all times. No one is ever actually sure.
She's like
where
that movie,
is.
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah. Terry Barr is here. Good morning, Terry. How are you?
Hi, John. Jane, you got me all flustered. Let me start over. Hi, Jane, Greg. And I didn't know you called him Calvitini.
We have many nicknames.
There are many names.
Calvin.
The Board Lord, Calvitini.
Sweet Calvi.
The Calvinator. Yeah. Calvinator.
That one has become a favorite, but that was a new one to me.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Jane, I think I'm flustered as well to speak with you, knowing you have the countdown underway to retirement.
I do.
Oh, we need to make sure Europe's The Final Countdown is a hotkey from now on. Oh, so when anyone brings up that phrase, the countdown. Yep. All right. Got it.
December 12th will be my final show.
Boom.
We have.
I picture you with a calendar right now. You're either ripping off the days or marking off the days, just making it fun.
It's going to be so much fun. Absolutely.
Yeah. I imagine December 12th at about 10:50. It's going to be like, now let me tell you what I really think. And it's just going to be like, oh no.
Jane vents her spleen.
Open up that FCC account. Oh, my goodness.
How much is an FCC fine these days? Maybe it'll be worth it. No, probably.
Oh, my gosh. I love you guys. So much fun.
So what are we going to do today for a slice of Wisconsin?
Okay. I have something really fun for you today because, you know, why not? We need to hear about fun things as well.
Absolutely.
It's to that time of the year where you feel like I need to kind of try to stay out there. I don't need to cozy up and sit on the couch for the rest of the winter or anything. So get this now, for a slice of Wisconsin, did you know Wisconsin has a brand new trail and you can follow it to all your favorite restaurants?
Oh.
But it isn't just any type of restaurants. We are talking about a prime rib trail that takes you to the best supper clubs all across the state.
That's fabulous.
Yay.
That's fabulous.
Well, here is Caitlin Kessler, and she's with the Wisconsin Beef Council. She's going to tell us a little more about this.
We know that we have a lot to brag about in Wisconsin when it comes to our prime rib and our supper club tradition. We just saw nominations from our folks who love supper club, love enjoying that tradition with their families. And so that's how we got the 16 that are currently on our list. And we already have hundreds that are on our nomination form for next year. People have been throwing them in left and right. In the meantime, it's just been a lot of fun to see all the excitement for 2025. We have folks from out of town who ask, what is a supper club? I always just say it's the culture, right? It's when you walk in and they greet you with a friendly smile, you grab that old fashioned at the bar and you anxiously await your seat. It's people come together over great food and camaraderie.
The old fashioned.
Isn't that great?
Old walk in. Yes. And the old fashioned at the bar, which is so quintessential Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yeah.
So are these places all over the state?
Yeah. So you're probably wondering, how do I follow this trail? How do I get on the trail to start with? It really hits every single point across the state. And there is a map you can find, so you can keep it in your car if you want to, hit a couple, probably not a couple in one night.
You may want to space those out. Yeah.
There's the Black Otter in Hortonville. Now, I've been there. It is amazing. It is incredible. There's also the Packing House in Milwaukee.
Packing House has been there for a long time. Long time.
So there you go. Yep. It's one of those that has the heritage and the history.
That's on Layton.
Del Bar in Wisconsin. Dells. Now we get to some fun names. Chicken Chasers in Fall Creek. And the Loading Zone in Wausau. There's 16 all together right now. And again, at all different points of Wisconsin, you can find the map at beeftips.com. beeftips.com. The cool thing, there's a description for every single one of these supper clubs, all 16. And there's a place, as you heard her say, they're already getting hundreds of people nominating their favorite supper clubs to be on the trail next fall.
That's great. That's
Isn't
great.
It fun?
Lots of love for Wisconsin supper clubs, which again is very, very quintessential Wisconsin. I don't know about you guys, but I kind of rate a lot. A lot depends on the relish tray. I put a lot of weight on the relish tray. If it's just a couple carrots and some celery, you lose.
But okay, may I make an point on this. I feel the same argument can be made about Bloody Marys, also very quintessential Wisconsin when it comes to go anywhere outside of Wisconsin and ask for the chaser and they look at you like you're an idiot.
But yeah, what?
I find that if you go to a place with a Bloody Mary where the accoutrement is celery and that's it, it's usually going to be an amazing Bloody Mary. When you go to the places that have everything under the sun, basically a breakfast on top of a cup, then you're like, well, it's a fine Bloody Mary, but I'm really paying for, you know, the scrambled eggs they put in there.
They're disguising the quality of their Mary is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Have you been to the fourth base in West Allis right behind Milwaukee?
I haven't been there in a long time.
Oh,
yeah, a long time.
They have got those Bloody Marys that they do it right. It's really good. But then, Greg, to your point, they still add. So it comes in the big glass you can ever get. It's crazy.
I went to a place once where it was a block of Gouda cheese, and I'm like, all right, I'll get this and get a. And there was so much that if you ordered an entree, they knocked money off of the Bloody Mary. And I'm like, well, that's great. I'll save money. By the end of it, I ate the food and I ate the Bloody Mary, and I wanted to just go and take a really long nap. But so the so there's more to be nominated. Are they saying that this is just the beginning and next year do they have like sort of a, we're going to add this many more for next year? And, you know, does it come with a cool booklet?
They do not have a set number. It started with 16 this year just because they did reach out to various people and asked, okay, if we can have a top 16 all across the state, all the way around, who should we put? So this really is just getting this started as the first drive or step to all these supper clubs.
Fair. Yeah.
I don't think they have a number for next year, but they are willing to listen to what anybody has to say, why it should be on the map as a great supper club and also as a great prime rib spot.
Well, and what a great way to get out and see parts of the state you may never have been to before, right?
I agree.
Because some of those, some of these supper clubs are in much smaller communities and they're still fabulous.
Yeah. And they depend on people, you know, not just their locals to come in, but people that hopefully are driving by and are looking for kind of this quintessential supper club atmosphere. And you know, the minute you walk in, you can feel it. You know, when you're in a real Wisconsin supper club.
Absolutely.
And there's one, and this is just me. I'm not being paid by Big Supper. I'm looking at it right now. I just think it's beeftips.com. I will put the prime rib trail on the show notes so people can see which ones are out there. And it is. It's all over the state. In my opinion, my humble opinion, there is one that is frightfully lacking, and that is the Hobnob in Pleasant Prairie. On the lake,
I know
right
exactly
by
where it is.
Right by, I think we talked about this yesterday too. It is right by the border. It is famed for being a place where mobsters want to hang out.
I love that.
It is a pure and traditional supper club in its design, presentation, everything. It's not one of these places where they just opened last week and they're like, hey, we're gonna.
No, it's been there forever.
It's been there forever, and you dress up, you feel good. It just you grab a drink at the bar. The last time I went there was a jazz trio playing. It is a
lovely
night out.
Yeah. They got the mirrors, you know, the mirrors on the walls and the red banquettes and all of that.
Everything's carpeted.
Yes.
Yeah, that's when you know.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, Terry Barr is here, our colleague at Civic Media, and we are talking about Slice of Wisconsin, the prime rib trail that you can now set off upon, probably in a car. I don't think you're going to want to. Walking would probably be good. This brings us to prime rib versus filet mignon.
Oh, here we go.
Which is something that I actually experienced 2 weekends ago. We went to Delaney's Steakhouse in Madison. Thank you for the recommendation, Luke Mathers. And I got filet mignon and Bridget got prime rib.
Okay.
And I have to say, for me personally, I don't know if I would get prime rib. It's just the look of a filet, really nice. Also realize that 6 ounces is enough.
Yeah.
Whereas prime rib can
That's a lot.
A prime rib is like half a cow.
Yeah.
It really is. When they bring out that, it's like, woof.
Yeah. Here's the bell, too. Enjoy. What is your go-to? When you get in front of a steak.
I will have a petite filet.
A petite filet.
Yeah, petite filet, because that's about three or 4 ounces. That's plenty.
Yeah.
That's plenty. And then with everything, and then you've got the relish tray. And then the salad bar. Mm. And then there's the bread basket and all of that stuff. And then the spud. And, it's like, woof.
I got hash browns.
Yeah. Now you're taking a nap.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. We went, after we were done, we went right to the hotel and was like, we're not going anywhere. We're going to bed now. And it was 7:45.
Oh, you got
living a wild life.
Yeah, I mean,
living a wild life.
Yeah. Terry, do you have when it comes to steak? First of all, if you are a vegetarian or a vegan, I apologize for assuming. But if you go out for a steak, is there a particular type you like?
It would be, as Jane said, the petite. Mm-hmm. But if there is fish in any way on the menu,
I'll go that way. A pescatarian.
Mm.
Good for you.
I'll do a good salmon. Oh, yeah. a good piece of salmon.
So good. And my dad was a long, long time dairy farmer, a couple generations.
Yeah.
So when we would go out, he would look at me and be, what?
Where's you're eating fish?
Yeah.
You're a traitor to our family.
I know. Those words ring in my head all the time.
Oh, Terry, that's so funny.
Wow, that's pressure.
I know.
You join Pete Schwabba every Friday night, don't you, for Bar Band Friday?
I do. And this most recent one, I found Wisconsin originally made music for Halloween. And you wouldn't think Wisconsin bands or bands based in Wisconsin are going out of their way to make their own Halloween music. But I found a couple that did, and we had so much fun with that.
That's great. So go back. You can listen to all of these. Everything is archived. Mm-hmm. Go to civicmedia.us. At the very top, it says shows. Click on shows. Go to Pete Schwabba and go to last Friday's interview with Terry Barr. She joins Pete on Friday night's Bar Band Friday with Terry Barr. Yes.
Yeah.
She is our genie of just about everything. Thank you so very much, Terry Barr. We will see you in a couple weeks.
Okay. Thanks to both of you. Love to chat with you.
See you later.
Bye.
Stay with us. This shouldn't be a thing. On the way, you are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Delighted to be joined by our next guest. He is the author of Burned by Billionaires and one of the co-founders of Patriotic Millionaires. Chuck Collins is here. Good morning, Chuck. Thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
Good. Good morning, Jane. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Chuck, for people who are not familiar with you, can you share a little bit about your background so we can set the stage a little bit?
Sure thing. Yeah, I was born in Wisconsin. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer. And so bringing home the bacon meant something different in our family.
But, I bet.
You know, it. I have been concerned about these issues of sort of growing inequality really since my 20s, and helped co-found this network, the Patriotic Millionaires. And a lot of my work is just researching and writing about how inequality kind of harms everybody and how it touches our lives.
I'm curious, Chuck, what is it in your background or in your formative years that led you here? Because it seems to me so many of your fellow millionaires are not in the same place.
Well, I think there's actually a larger segment than we think of people in that position. But, you know, I actually, after I lived in Wisconsin, my dad moved our family to Detroit. And I remember I was 7 years old in 1967 when there were the Detroit riots, and it was pretty formative. And I kind of, one of my takeaways is from my very sensible working class mom who grew up in Ohio. She said, you know, this is, a lot of people feel like this isn't fair. The gap between rich and poor in the city of Detroit, between white and black, you know, and so that sort of planted a little seed, you know, but I frankly lived in a bubble. I grew up in a bubble, and it wasn't until I was maybe later in my teenage years that I kind of understood where I fit into the picture, and later came to the belief that, you know what, maybe too much inherited wealth is not a good thing for me or for society. You know, it's one thing to help your kids.
Sure.
with college, right, or help with buying a house or
down
something.
Payment,
but,
yep.
You know, but when it comes to like dynastic wealth, enough wealth that you don't have to work and you can push other people around, then, you know, maybe that's too much for a healthy society. So
when you come to that conclusion, what sort of pushback did you get from friends and family? Because as you said, you were in a bubble, and I'm sure there are people out there who shared that bubble, you know. Was there disbelief? Was there shock? What was the response you get from individuals in that world when you say, I think this isn't a good thing?
You know, sometimes it's a conversation stopper. People are, because so much of the focus of growing up in a wealthy family is how do you stay wealthy?
Right. Right.
You know, how do you pass on as much wealth down the generational line and all that? Although, you know, again, there's quite a few number of people, including my own family, who I think don't sort of buy into that. But yeah, I guess my approach was to be thankful to my parents and extended family. I mean, you know, I was lucky. I picked my parents,
yeah,
you know, and my grandparents. You know, like, took a lot of skill.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm trying to say, well, you know, thank you for the opportunities. I really appreciate it. I did get to go to college without any debt. That's a huge deal these days.
Yeah.
I can tell from looking at my own kids, all of them have massive school debt. You know, but we all have a stake in working to kind of address that, you know?
If you're just joining us, Chuck Collins is our guest. He is the co-founder of Patriotic Millionaires and also of the author of the book Burned by Billionaires. Why is this bad, Chuck? How is this bad for society as a whole when you have so much wealth concentrated in the hands of so few? Because that's where we are.
Yeah. The reason I wrote this book is because people do say to me, well, it doesn't really matter how rich the rich are. And isn't that awesome that they invented that better mousetrap and we're all benefiting from that? And I think there's a part of that story is true. It is, you know, if Greg goes out and invents a better mousetrap, I want to know about it, and I'll probably give him some money and blessings upon it.
Right.
But then at a certain stage, people accumulate wealth and power. And that's when I think we should sort of sit up and take notice. How do people use their power? And I kind of argue in my book that when people hit that $30 to $40 million mark, up to that, you know, if you got $30 million, you're set, your kids are set, you've got multiple houses, you're leading that frictionless existence that the rich want to live, you know. But when you start to get over that amount, $30, $40 million, you're not just buying another mansion or a boat, you're buying a senator, or you're buying a media outlet, or you're influencing the political system, or you're blocking your competition. So in a healthy society, too much wealth at a certain point undercuts a healthy democracy and economy. It's bad for the economy, creates all kinds of distortion. But in this book, I try to say, hey, Greg, Jane, every day you wake up, the fact that these billionaires, the fact that the economy is rigged to funnel wealth to the top, touches your, makes you less healthy, makes your own tax bill higher, makes it, that trashes the environment, makes it harder to care for your pets, takes away your voice and your vote in a democratic society. And I could go on, but basically it really does matter. It really does touch each of us.
Before you joined us, Chuck, in the first hour, we were talking about the economy and obviously with SNAP benefits and all of those things. But one of the things that we talked about, when you give poor people a break, when you give poor people a tax cut or assistance, that money goes back into the economy. They use that money. They buy things. They buy groceries. They might do home improvements. If you give Jeff Bezos yet another tax cut, he's not plugging it back into the economy like regular people are. Is that accurate or am I way off on that?
Yeah, no, I think you're onto it, meaning low and middle income people, almost really the bottom 90%, you give people a tax cut, it pretty much gets spent in the local economy. Whereas if you get a tax cut to these billionaires, it could go anywhere on the planet. And unfortunately, more of it is going into speculative investing. You know, you've heard about private equity. Mm-hmm. Private equity is basically like a pool of wealthy people's money that's engaged in high risk investing. So, you know, Jeff Bezos has taken his tax cut and he's buying up, he's invested in a company that buys up single family houses that used to, like, people used to buy and live in. Now they're renting them.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to squeeze more out of the housing, the fact that most people can't afford a home in this housing market, or they buy up a hospital or an emergency room and squeeze patients. Or if you have any pets, they you know,
veterinarians. Yes.
They'll go to the veterinary clinic and the dog walking service.
Yes.
Oh, you're not imagining it. Your costs are going up. And it's, I think, largely driven by these speculative investors. So tax cuts for the rich just creates bigger pools of speculative finance that is kind of squeezing us, each of us.
And I want to go back to something you just said where, you know, when you get over a certain amount of money. Now, granted, someone said, Greg, I'm going to give you $30 million. I'd be like, thank you. Make the check to cash. But also when you get to that point, then you can be a part of these groups where if you're over a certain amount of money and wealth, losing $20, $30 million is kind of nothing. And if anything, you have the senators in your pocket to be able to write that off to get the tax breaks you need. And something that you just said, Jane, that's very, I think, important to mention is that when we talk about those tax breaks and we talk about that access to programs for the 90% that I am definitely a part of, there's groups of individuals, there are a group of politicians who will do everything they can do to vilify those programs or those proposed bills to say that they are doing nothing but creating moochers and takers from the economy. Yet when someone says, let's give billionaires permanent tax credits, full stop, no halting, no reviewing of the topic. It's, this is the best thing for the economy. This is the greatest thing for America because they are going to get that money and they're going to funnel it back to us. Well, they're not funneling it. They are cutting employees. They are shrinking work staff. They are buying up businesses and making it harder for Americans to exist.
Yeah, we're waiting for the trickle.
Yeah, I've been waiting for the trickle since Reagan and I was a baby.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm standing out there with my bucket. But, you know, Greg, it's really awesome that you're kind of getting into your inner billionaire here, because I think this is, you know, like, to understand, when you have that level of wealth, you're constantly looking for, how do you park it? Where do you put it? Where can you invest it to get more? Mm-hmm. And you're surrounded by all these advisors who are saying, Greg, let's take 30% of that and we'll put it over here in the high risk, high return fund. So even if you're a conservative investor, even if you're like, hey, I just want to protect my $30 million that I got here.
Yeah, right.
People are like, hey, let's, and then, yeah, then it gets into power. Oh, well, why don't we lobby for this legislation to allow you to create a trust in the state of South Dakota, you know, that you can create a dynasty trust to park your money. You'll never have to pay taxes. Your unborn great-grandchildren will still be benefiting from it. That's what these advisors are constantly selling. And it seems awfully tempting. So, you know, and then the fact that we're kind of the deflection onto the less powerful folks. Oh, you feel grievances. You're having a hard time paying for housing or food or groceries. Let's blame these immigrants. Let's blame these low income people. You have to understand, they have to deflect attention. If we were all focusing on the billionaires,
That would not work well for them.
So let's blame somebody else.
Right. You know? Well, it's always the other. We have to other someone. You look over there. Don't look at me. It's their fault. It's not my fault. It was never my fault. Chuck Collins is here, co-founder of Patriotic Millionaires and author of the book Burned by Billionaires. The other thing I think is really interesting, Chuck, is that we tend to assign, at least in my estimation, we tend to assign morality to people who are very wealthy. If you're really rich, you must be a really good person. And if you are really poor, you must be a bad person. That's not accurate by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think we make those associations when we see someone of great wealth. Well, they must be a great guy.
Yeah, I think that story of virtuous wealth. And again, I'm not knocking people who start a business. I have a great grandfather who started a butcher shop. I'm thankful that he did that.
Right.
I have relatives who then built up a company in Madison. And, you know, but at a certain point, you're starting to take that extreme wealth and use it to block other people's opportunities. And again, that's to me un-American. And having wealthy people pay their fair share of taxes is not just about raising revenue. It's about limiting power. The power that corrupts a healthy society. It's not hating, as Billie Eilish said the other day. No hate, but billionaires share the money, man. Yeah. Come on, she Jordy, was like, that's what she said.
Yeah, she was like, "Why are you a billionaire? That shouldn't even be a thing."
Yeah,
that shouldn't even be a thing.
And I think
that's a really good question to ask when Jeff, Michael Zuckerberg sitting in the room.
And I think personally too, it's just that when they search for all those tax breaks and all those things to keep their money, they are voting against investing in this country in various ways. So that's just something that always goes in my brain when I think about billionaires.
We're going to continue our conversation with Chuck Collins. You can always join us at 855-752-4842. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and we will be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are joined by Chuck Collins. He is the co-founder of Patriotic Millionaires, author of the book Burned by Billionaires. And Chuck, we're going to get to your book in just a second, but I wanted to share a couple texts that came in the break. Pat from Wauwatosa, according to an November 3rd Common Dreams article, the top 10 wealthiest people in the U.S. have gained $700 billion in wealth since Donald Trump's re-election. And Jack in Merrimack says, a lot of times I've asked conservatives how much is enough, and I get no real answer. Most of the answers are similar to, well, they earned it. The other is essentially, aren't you limiting the American dream?
Yeah, I think those are the narratives that hold us back. I think the how much of enough question is really about power. It's not about whether Greg should have another boat.
Right.
Right. Or mm-hmm. Jane should have another house.
It's about influence.
You know, sometimes. It's about power and influence and the power to block changes that the rest of society maybe wants. And I think that's a lot of how billionaire power is exercised in our society, is stopping things. We would probably have a much better healthcare system. We'd have much better schools and civic life if we didn't have wealthy people blocking basic investments. And you know, there's a point at which, people earn their wealth. They started a useful business. Let's celebrate.
Sure.
people who start businesses, people who create useful things, provide services that we all want, they should be rewarded. Okay, let's stop there. Let's stop calling people communists because they're concerned about extreme inequality, because it's so corrupting. So yeah, we got to kind of figure out how to talk about this. And I just say, after that 30 million mark, it's about corruption, the corrupting power, influence of power. And that's when we should be saying, whoa, that is too much power.
Well, and I think this headline from Mediaite kind of puts a bow on that. Majority of Trump ballroom donors recently faced federal enforcement actions. So, again, we've talked about the quid pro quo presidency. It's like, you give me money and I'll do you a favor.
I mean, here's another interesting statistic. Since I started, you know, tracking this, prior to the pandemic, we had about 800 billionaires in the U.S. with combined wealth of about $3 trillion. Today, we have 920 billionaires with $8 trillion. So the share of wealth, this is what I think people don't realize. The wealth funneling upwards is accelerating. How is that possible? It's because people are trying to figure out how to squeeze more money out of working class and middle class folks. And we should look at our household budget every day and say, how much money is getting skimmed off to pay, you know, for fees and the rents, if you will, of using some of these apps. You know, a friend of mine's a dog walker. She want, you know, Jane, you have a dog you want walked. You can connect with her. You hire her through rover.com. Well, guess what? They're going to skim off a bunch of it. They're not helping in any way. They're just skimming because they have this app. And then they're bought by Blackstone, you know, big trillion-dollar investment company, so they can squeeze more out of the healthy economy. So at a certain point, it's bad for the economy to have so much imbalance of wealth.
I think the other thing, too, that's important as far as saying, you know, we can celebrate people's achievements in business, but also we should not worship these people like they're gods. You know, in an era of no kings, we have made them into our royal class, these billionaires and multi billionaires, giving them TV shows, watching them in movies and walking through the White House wielding power. I think one of the bigger problems is we've set up a worship culture of these individuals for something that most of us, a majority of us, will never achieve. But, you know, like I said to Jane in the break, my only concern, I'm not worried about getting $30 million. I'm worried about my wife and I just being able to retire one day, period, and then not have to worry about a healthcare scare bankrupting
taking
us.
Your house.
That's all I want. But if I try to say that out loud, someone will call me a liar or a moocher or a whatever. And that's, I mean, I feel like my need is pretty simple. I'm not trying to, as you said, I'm not trying to buy my eighth boat.
Yeah, Greg, you know, I think that's how we kind of like over celebrate these billionaires as if they're kings, and we under celebrate all the people who just work extremely hard. Get up, you know, let's celebrate our teachers. Let me celebrate the road crew guys who were out plowing while I was lying in bed last night. You know, let's celebrate the people who make sure we have food on the shelves. Like, it's just, we've gotten out of balance, and we have a lot of pride in our work, but the way we overvalue these billionaires, like they're some sort of cosmic genius. And some of them are very smart, and some of them are quite generous. So they're not a monolithic group, but, you know, we would be just better off with fewer billionaires and more thousandaires.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that 40% of the population has like no reserves. That's what I'm concerned about, just what you're describing, Greg.
Pick up the book, Burned by Billionaires. Chuck Collins has been our guest. That is his latest book. He has a number of books. He's the co-founder of Patriotic Millionaires. Chuck, you can come and hang with us anytime when those people shun you. So you're always welcome to come and hang out with us.
Great talking. Invite me back anytime. I love talking. Think in Wisconsin.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Chuck. Appreciate it. News coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
Got a mean streak. Big money. Got a nose.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.